Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, anti-government sentiment, if not at an all-time high, certainly way up there on the list, on the chart. And we want to bring in a guest who has a little bit different idea as to how to solve the problem and make government more responsive. That is Matthew Casalotto, author, speaker, and founding president of the Center for Voting and Democracy. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Jack. How's it going?
Fine. Well, we've had you on this show a number of times to talk about speaking and promises and all sorts of other projects, but this one really caught me off guard. The idea that our problem with government is that we don't have a big enough Congress.
Well, let me give a little history, and then maybe we can figure out if this makes any sense at all.
Okay.
The original Congress, the House, just the House of Representatives, had 65 members, and it was supposed to expand, increase every 10 years to keep pace with population growth. The Constitutional Convention talked about this. Madison makes it real clear that he takes it for granted in the Federalist Papers that the House will expand to keep pace with population. And it did so for the first 100, 120 years or so. Every 10 years, the House grew and eventually got to 435. But guess when it got to that number, 435? It got there after the 1910 census. So over 100 years ago, basically, it expanded to 435 representatives for a population at the time of 92 million.
All right, the population's more than tripled, right?
That's right. The population now is over 300 million, and every member of Congress now has to try to represent 700,000 people instead of the original, 65,000. Finally, I don't know, 50 years or so, we got to 100,000. Around 1910, it was around 200,000 people per House member. Now we're at 700,000. So here's the point, really. What happens when you restrict the supply of something that people want, in this case, representation? If you restrict the supply of representation, something pretty bad happens, and that is what I call a black market in representation, and that's in the form of interest groups and lobbyists and big staffs and big districts and lack of access. So next time you try to get an appointment with your representative, think about that. 700,000 people are competing with you.
Matthew, how often when you have talked about this idea have you had people say, are you nuts?
We're trying
to make Congress smaller. We'd like to get rid of the whole thing.
Well, that would be like cutting off our nose to spite our face. This is the point. We should have more representation, not less. More elected representation, I should say.
You want a congressional stimulus. You want to add more, right?
Add more. Why should we have? Why should we want fewer representatives when they're not representing us? We should have more. So we should have smaller districts and more representatives so that we can have greater access and we don't have this problem of entrenched incumbents, large districts. Campaigns to run for election are so expensive because they're big districts. So there are a lot of problems. And what I'm saying is, yes, this is almost counterintuitive. People would say, well, we don't want more of these guys.
Right.
But there are a lot of problems. And one of the interesting connections that, and I'm just suggesting this, I can't really prove it, but the last time the House was increased was before the 19th Amendment when women got the right to vote in 1920. So you would think if you double the electorate when women got the right to vote in 1920, you would at least consider increasing the size of the House to give women a chance to get elected at open seats. But they haven't had that chance. So the women have had a hard time ever since. We've expanded the electorate, the franchise, with the Voting Rights Act, with 18-year-olds now got the right to vote in the 70s. So we've been expanding the electorate, but keeping the House kind of a lid on the representation supply, which is, I think, not a good thing.
James Madison foreshadowed this, correct?
Yes. Well, he said that the House would increase. He didn't.
He didn't talk about this problem, but he said that the population was going to increase, and from time to time, it'd be necessary to adjust the size of Congress.
Right, and that was always sort of assumed. That was part of the system, and it didn't happen. It didn't. This cap didn't happen until after, like I said, the 1910 census. Women got the right to vote in 1920. In 1929, there was actually a statute. So they did by statute what you'd think would have taken a constitutional amendment to do, and that is they put a law to cap the it's a permanent cap at 435. Now, you might say, well, that's a lot, maybe, but compare that to the House of Commons in Britain. There are 651 members of the House of Commons. Now, why is 435 so magical?
Well, there are a lot more people in the United States than Great Britain.
There are a lot more people. We have a lot more people. The French National Assembly has 577. A lot of other democracies have bigger chambers, more representatives, smaller districts. We ought to be thinking about this. And I think some of our problems with our democracy, the distance, you know, they're out of touch and that kind of thing, could be solved if we had smaller districts and had more access to representation elected by people instead of lobbyists and interest groups.
Well, the best congressmen and women, regardless of philosophy, are those who represent their constituents. And I think it is much easier to do that when you have a smaller number. I'm not saying even when it was 65,000 to one that everyone felt that their congressperson was a next-door neighbor. But your odds are certainly much greater the smaller number of people per representative, right?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, political scientists and just about anybody who looks at this, common sense would tell you that. And remember, when it was 65,000 to one, the electorate at that time was really landed gentry, farmers, it was white men. Yeah, the electorate was much smaller, so it wasn't even 65,000, it was more like 10,000 to one. So you really had access. But then as you expand the franchise and you don't expand the number of representatives, then you get into this whole logjam of interest groups and lobbyists. And I think that is a big problem with our politics.
Well, there are people saying now that you can have access. You can have as much access as you want. All you have to do is write a big check.
Big check. Well, that'll do it. See, that is you're exactly right. You get access if if you're a big campaign contributor or you're a member of some interest group, a big company. A big corporation gives money or whatever. So I think this is something that people ought to consider. Now, we could increase the size of the House by 200, 300, 400 seats over a period of time, and people would have a little bit more access, and you would say, well, wait a minute, they won't get anything done, right? Well, the work of Congress, and I've worked there, most of the work of Congress gets done in committees.
What would the cost of this be, Matthew?
Well, what I would suggest is for every additional representative, you take some staff away. You know, so I think
have to serve so many constituents.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to. You'd have members of Congress representing people and not staff representing their district. So I think there's a way you could do it and not spend a lot more money. You just give them an office, obviously. But you don't want members of Congress don't get a lot of work done in the chamber of the House. I mean, they get a lot. It's the committees. It's their work back in their districts. So this would and campaigns would be less expensive because you'd have smaller constituencies.
So have you gotten anyone who people would recognize to say, you know what, this is worth considering?
Well, surprisingly, there's a columnist named George Will who embraces the idea. He has written a column about it. This is some years ago. He said we ought to have 1,000 members of the House. Mm-hmm. There are other organizations who've been kicking it around. I've been kicking this idea around for a while, but I haven't made it a cause that I go out and do a lot with it.
Matthew, give us the website here very, very quickly.
Well, I think the first website to consider is the organization that I helped to found was called the Center for Voting and Democracy.
Can you get it there, Center for Voting and Democracy?
Yeah, fairvote.org.
Fairvote.org. That's the place to find it. Matthew, thanks so much for this innovative idea. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
We'll be back, and we're going to talk with Mary Breyer and Wendy Briggs from the Holt Senior Care and Rehabilitation Center. Coming up next on Ebling & You, 1320 WILS.